Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
Coming up... Didn't you film content with three guys?
All right, I was really, really hungover. God, I'm just like such a whore, but I don't care.
We love that about you.
I'm not ashamed of it.
That's why she's here.
Tove Taylor's back. Look at you.
Hi. Picked me up from the corner.
Did you relabel the Uber Kinky Bits in the end? Because that was our last thing. You were like, I can't make it. And it was on last week before we had a chat with... It was Roxy Bordion from Diva. And you were like, I can't make it. Things are incorrectly labelled. And I was like, she's stressed. What's going on?
Yeah, it was been a very stressful time, like taking over a new business, that already established business. You know, all the nooks, all the shit that you can imagine, like 17 pallets of stock. And, you know, the administrators have just swiped it in. You know, it's not been like organized. And it's like a lot of sex. It's just, you can imagine, it's just a disaster.
Like when Labour came to power and they said, we didn't know it was such a mess. Now you're in power. Fucking hell, everything's all over the place. What's going on?
I really like the brand though. It's really cool. Do you know what's really nice? It's like, it's nice to interact with straight people about sex, because I've been doing that now for like a few weeks. And it reminds me of when I was 18, because that was my job for 2 years. So it's like, oh, I get to talk about like straight stuff again.
How's that been?
It's good. It wakes up your brain, because, you know, it gets a bit, you know, monotonous when you're just constantly talking about
gay sex
and lube and condom and which anal and the, I mean, obviously straight people have anal too, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different.
You were in Spain, sex expo thing.
Yeah,
Barcelona.
Yes, it was really good actually. Aero Spain, it's called, and it's like a business to business expo, and it's basically a lot of meetings that really technically could be emails.
You get a trip to Spain out of it, so
yeah, it was lovely. And we did it. My colleague took me to Sitges for the day.
Have you been before?
No, I got absolutely wasted. I ended up in the sea. Yeah, we went to this gay bar called Parrots, and apparently it's really well known there. And it was amazing. I have to say, the service was so good. Everyone's so friendly. Like, it was such a really... Do you know what I have? Those are perfect days on holiday that, you know, you're always going to remember.
Yeah. Was that one of them?
Really happy, and everyone was really in a good mood.
My first ever gay holiday with mates was to Sitges when I was, oh God, 19, something like that. And it was so good. Everyone had such a good time that we wanted to go back again. And one of our friends said, oh, there's a carnival on off season. We should go to that. So we all turned up to go to this. We'd had this incredible time in the summer one year. And like, everyone was just like off the faces and hiring the swans to take out to sea and stuff like that. It was really good. And then we were like, we'll go back. And then the carnival was on at the end of February. And my mate was convinced it's going to be really good. It's all drag queens and everything. It turns out it's a religious carnival. It was off season, it rained continuously for 2 days. And I'll never forget that trip. We were still insistent that we were going to have a good time. That was that trip. And we went, and I wouldn't do this now, like asking people, can they score drugs for us? And we asked a tramp. I was like, can you get us any pills? And this is a long time ago. He's like, yeah. So he sold us these pills that were like...
I feel sick even hearing
this. They weren't ecstasy. We were like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, I have to go home to bed. This is awful. I slept for like 24 hours and it rained for that 24 hours. And I looked them up when we got home and he'd sold us his antipsychotic medication. And we just took them like, oh, these are ecstasy. And antipsychotic medication just proper sedates like the entire brain, doesn't it? After they'd worn off, we did have like a couple of good nights. But yeah, that was a bit of a weird one going in February. Me and Steve went about 7 years ago as well, and we had an absolutely brilliant time. I really want to go back.
Yeah, but so Barcelona was lovely and beautiful. And oh my God, the men.
Oh my God, yeah.
Obviously, I am going to say this. I know I'm predictable, but I don't care. my phone on the apps was blowing up. And I was
yeah, it does.
And I was like, why? Because I'm like, and then I realized, I got talking to one guy, and everyone I spoke to kept talking to me about my blonde hair and blue eyes.
That's what they want. Yeah, yeah. You look very different to them.
Oh, I'm exotic for once.
And Isn't that funny when you go somewhere like that and you think, because we're just used to being white and blue-eyed and stuff, and guys are like, wow, that's gorgeous. I'm like, okay, really? I'll take that.
I mean, some of the men that were messaging me, I was like, I was showing my colleague, and we were just going, oh, God.
Like, unreal.
And they're talking to me like I'm a supermodel, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm moving to Spain.
Yeah, it's so good like that. It is. I've had so much fun in Spain. Well, what's the date today? Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at the date. So, Sitges Pride is Saturday, 7th of June. I did consider going, but it's a bit late now, obviously.
Saying, why does this expo have to be the week before? We have done both, but we had to come back to London. I mean, my cat was being house sat, and I missed my cat.
Who was looking after the cat? Was someone staying around or just dropping off food?
My friend Sophie, she came to feed him and play with him and sat.
Oh, so did he get the place to himself, but he took full advantage?
He did. He's just like he's so spoiled. It's pathetic, really.
I can't remember what podcast you were on recently. That was aimed at straight women as well, wasn't it? Sex podcast aimed at straight women.
Yeah, I think that's most of their audience. I mean, definitely from the followers I've got from it, it's mostly straight women or queer women, but it's called Come Curious. And it's Florence and Reed, and they basically just talk really openly about sex. And they wanted to interview me because I won the award. And then they were like, let's think of something we can actually talk about. And they were like, why don't we talk about your relationships with DL men? And I was like, okay. I mean, obviously, I've got to be careful what I say with that because I don't want to out someone or even allude to outing someone.
Did you have to edit any of it out? Because me and you have done loads of chats about that. And when we do, I'm like, I'm going to have to take that bit out because
I think that's how I did. That's how I learned because I kind of had the experience of tripping up, dropping a name in or something.
I always take it out.
Yeah, but then it was really good. I'm glad I touched on a few things I really wanted to touch on because I think a lot of I'm going to sound very woke, as the kids say now, but a lot of white people get really excited about TL men being black, and I really wanted to touch on that because I don't like it when white people talk to me with that tone.
It's kind of like this only happens to black men, isn't it? And it's that's really not the case. Didn't you film content with three guys?
No. All right, I was really, really hungover. God, I'm just like such a whore, but I don't care.
We love that about you.
I'm not ashamed of it.
That's why she's here. It's not.
Yeah, I was really, really hungover, and I was really tired, and I was just like, and suddenly I got this burst of energy, and this man who I've known for years texted me, and he was like, hey. What you up to? I'm with my friend. I've just shown him your pictures. He thinks you're really hot. And I was like, thanks. I wasn't expecting the conversation to go. I was like, tell him thanks. Tell him to subscribe or whatever. I'm hungover. And he sent me a picture of his friend. And I was like, oh, wait. Maybe you can wait an hour and a half. Give me some time to get myself to cook. I was hungover. Like, my eyes were down by my chin. I need to tell myself. Because when they arrive, they want to see, they want to see that straight boy to a character. And I didn't look like that at that moment. So I was like, if you can wait an hour and a half, that's fine. And then, yeah, it happened. And yeah, I tied them both out.
So that's two. Wasn't there one where there was three?
Yes.
Allegedly. That wasn't that long ago.
Allegedly, yeah.
Are we not talking about that?
I'm not because I thought one of them's really, really, really pissed me off. And I don't want him to possibly hear something or even think I'm... But basically, yeah, it's here. Someone was ringing my doorbell at 3 a.m. and I really didn't appreciate it.
Oh, right. That happened weeks later or something.
Yeah, he got really drunk and I guess he had like a weird homing. This is the thing I have with a lot of DL guys, and I spoke about this on Come Curious. He wasn't even coming over for sex. He just got like a little bit attached to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, you're not responding to my text. Listen, I just want to talk to you. I want to hug. Like, and I was like, no, and he lived 10 minutes down the road. And yeah,
makes me feel sad. Not for you.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I think that's the thing. People don't just realize, like, with this, again, because people are so quick to sexualize the DL men. Whereas I always have, even though I talk in such a sexual way, I know how I come across, but I actually have more of an affectionate relationship with a lot of the men that I know who publicly identify as straight.
Yeah.
And that has amazing positives, obviously, because it's friendship, you know. I have great relationships. Like, I have men I can talk to, I can lean on for advice. They have a different life experience to me.
But they're not getting that elsewhere, though, are they? They're not getting, that. There's obviously a need that they're getting from you that's not just sexual, isn't there? I think
it's just that they can live an honest part of themselves and know that I'm not judging it. And, like, and I'm not like a bitch sometimes to be funny, but I'm really not a judgmental person. So, like, I always say to my friends, you could do the worst thing in the world and I'll try and find a way to understand why. That's just how I was kind of raised, because I feel like that's how you have a solution rather than just enjoying the drama. But yeah, basically he's confused himself basically. And
he's confused what his court feelings, that there is always that risk. It always happens in them situations because it's so intense when you think about it.
It is.
He's suppressed that for so long and then he gets to do that with you. And then he thinks.
And he's not young. He's older than me.
So he's had to squish down all them feelings for ages and now he's got them.
Yeah. And I do have a soft spot for it. Also, don't ring my doorbell for morning.
No, no.
I'm not an escort.
But so many of them situations do end up like that. I don't know if has that happened to you before or anything like that. I think it probably has, hasn't it? In fact, I imagine it's a pattern.
It got me in a lot of trouble with an old housemate before.
Like someone just turning up and being at the door and like, hello, are you on?
He'd got drunk, this guy, and I assume he'd taken some sort of upper. So he was all super, super affectionate and loving. And I hadn't seen my phone going off because that was sticky. And then my housemate was going nuclear and I'm like, what the fuck? And he'd basically come out of the club and he was texting me like, I love you. The context of that situation was I'd met him a few times, realized that his emotional situation with it wasn't healthy for him. So I respectfully was like, listen, I like you as a person. And I think if I continue to see you, it's actually going to be a bit immoral in my case, because I see that you sleeping with me is causing you so much trauma. I could smell it. Like, he was firing off with his paranoid questions all the time, and I'm like, listen, I'm
like, what was he asking?
You know, if there's anyone about me, are you, am I gay, like, is anyone going to find out, you're not secretly recording me, are you? And this is before I was doing content, and I'm like, listen. So anyway, he got really high, decided that he was in love with me, and came to my house. And basically at my house we had this fence, which I have my own front door. It was an L-shaped house and I had a front door to my section of the house. But her bedroom was above that front door. And the gate that led down to my front, the gate used to swell when it rained. So you couldn't push the gate because the wood would swell shut. So he's jumped to the gate. And she's woken up to a guy in the front garden.
Oh God.
And I understand why she was angry. I get it.
It's terrifying, actually.
Yeah, I know the context of it. Her partner was there as well, so obviously it just didn't look great all around. But yeah, it's not the first time it's happened.
That was interesting, the way you said the guy was like, you're going to tell people about me. You're recording me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. That's common, that's a common thing to happen, and a common fear for someone in a position where they don't want to be exposed, to think that when they're allowing, they're letting their guard down and they're playing with someone, that they're going to be recorded. And it's actually started to happen quite a bit on the chemsex scene, hasn't it? I don't know if you were reading them things recently.
Yeah, and I know of people who threaten content, and I spoke about this on Come Curious. I have helped, got to be careful how I word this, I helped guys who, so it's a very blurred line. I don't know if that's good English. There is a very thin line between a DL relationship that's healthy and the one that goes unbelievably toxic and dangerous. And a lot of it happens where a gay boy or a trans woman or whoever who's experimenting with a DL guy catches feelings, because it's easy to do, because you're getting your dream man, right? Because we are trained, as all of our internalized homophobia, we are trained to want the masculine guy, aren't we? Straight acting. Most people have beaten that. I certainly haven't. I mean, look at all the guys I date. I've helped guys who, when people have tried to out them, so I kind of have a process, I kind of know what to do.
Why have they tried to out them? They're just because they've caught feelings. They're feeling fuming that they're not getting what they wanted anymore, and now they're saying, and they can't handle that.
Yeah,
they're already
out.
I guess, emotionally kind of compromised and vulnerable anyway, aren't they, the situation that they might be in.
Yeah. And I do have, I have empathy for both sides of it. I genuinely do. Like, I fully, fully understand. I've been there. Like, I've fallen in love with a DL guy. I wrote about it. If anyone wants to read this listening, it's on TophieTaylor.co.uk. But, I know what that's like. And, but I do have empathy for both sides of it. However, there was a situation a few weeks ago in America where a gay boy slept with a rapper and then outed him allegedly. But I think since it's turned out, it was all bullshit. So I've helped guys. There was one guy in particular who I filmed with. There was an online campaign to out him. Thank God I found it.
It's easier than it used to be to sort of get stuff done about them things. I mean, I guess the long and short of it is for people who are frightened of, like, pretty much everybody participates in that kind of thing now, don't they? Everybody's got a sex tape. Everybody's got nudes. And we all need our privacy, like, that kind of, like, protecting. And there's more ways to fix it than there ever was when something like that goes wrong. And then when you move into the sort of chemsex world, you've got people experimenting and saying more than they should do. And apparently there's a bit of an issue at the moment with organized criminal gangs going into situations, getting information off people and using it to bribe them later on from when they're in compromising situations. And it always seemed to me to be a real, like, easy match for that scene, for people to end up in that situation. I think something to bear in mind is a genuine piece of information that anybody's dipping their toe in that world is that you need to be making sure that you're not telling everyone your personal business. How many people just chronically overshare when they're fucked or drunk? So many people do. And I think that, you know, if you could have a job as a teacher, you could have a job as an estate agent, you could just have a job where you do not know what the situation is that the person that you've met, you just randomly met on the internet, and you sat there with them, high as a kite, having sex, videoing it, doing whatever the fuck you're doing, because you've accelerated everything to 5,000 miles an hour, and that is going to leave issues. But it's hard sometimes to take these things off the internet if they end up on there. If someone goes, I'm going to stick it on Twitter, whatever. Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it?
I feel like post, like, with the getting higher, like, you make these decisions. It's like post-nut clarity, isn't it? You're like, oh, you know, you get post-nut clarity. And, you know, I spoke about this on the podcast where in the moment, in the excitement, like, in the eroticism, whatever, you behave in a certain way. But when you come, it's different. So I was saying, like, that question they were asking me about, like, the potential risks of being a DL person or anyone who doesn't probably identify straight. And it's like, you don't know who that person's going to be when they come, because that's when the shame will hit. And that's why with me, like, I'm long in the tooth with it. I've touched wood. I've never really had any bad experiences, but that's because I'm quite good at, like, gauging behavior.
You can read people when you, same.
So thank God, like, I can imagine you're the same. I have friends who I'm like, no, don't do it, because I don't trust that you'll be.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that comes from having, I had so many crazy things happen when I was younger, that you become almost a bit, like, hyper aware of the kind of people you're dealing with. Like, I'm married to someone that I knew for 20 years before I married him. That's on purpose, because otherwise sometimes you really don't know who you're dealing with. I remember many, many years ago when I must have been in my early 20s, about 22, and there was a guy we used to hang around with, and he'd been in and out of prison. He was also fucking on loads of steroids, very, very sexy, sexually all over the place apparently. And he was, like, in my house once, lay on my bed when I was literally trying to chill, came up to just be around me. I was like, hello, what can I help you? He's like, yeah, just coming to chill with you. And I'm like, all right. And then he goes in to get off with me a few times. And he was so fit, honestly. But at 22, I remember thinking, this is fine right now, but is this going to be fine in a day? When what's your recollection of this going to be? And what's the impact going to be? And it might not be good for me, because it was the kind of person that in the wrong set of circumstances could and did would be violent if in the wrong set of circumstances. And that was my very first time that I turned around and thought, well, yeah, thanks, but no.
It's really weird timing you say this, right? So there's somebody who I know and who I did actually film with who apparently has been violent to pretty much everyone. And I'm like, he was never violent with me. And I'm not trying to blow smoke up my own ass. I'm just wondering what, and I was thinking about this, funny enough, last night, someone's been trying to chat me up on Snapchat. He's then gets aggressive. And I was like, oh, that reminds me of, I'm like, I wonder why he didn't do it with me. And I just, I wonder, I'd love to know, but obviously I let you can't go, hey, why didn't you attack me? But yeah, I think if I'm psychoanalyzing it, it's probably because a lot of the reason these men warm to me is because of my career. They know that I'm like a safe space. There's no risk, really. I'm not going to out them.
They know what they're going to get, and they feel safe. And they're two critical things. Yeah, it's interesting the conversations that are going on around that and all that, like how it all interconnects, like down low men, the chemsex scene, shame, meeting up with people, yeah. The people not wanting people to know. Well, I obviously I lived in Liverpool till I was a late teenager to go to, then I went to uni, then I moved back twice. And something I noticed about Grindr in Liverpool in particular, me and my husband lived there for a couple of years as well, is that whenever we went on Grindr, which is a fine thing to do, gay couples do that all the time, was, there was something, especially compared to Manchester or London, there was this sort of, every person that you'd have a conversation with was like, no face. It was all like, no face, no pics, down low, don't tell anyone, or just chat and nonsense and then nothing. And it was really noticeable. And it was all very kind of like, oh, but what if someone sees that I've got a picture on Grindr? And I just remember thinking, fuck, there's a lot of this in concentrated spots. And yeah, there certainly was in inner city Liverpool. It was most conversation you would have would go down that route of no pics, can't have pics. And I just remember thinking, what fucking year is it? Like, what? But you do get like sections of like, demographic sections of society, don't you, where that's a big issue to people and they like don't want to give any pics. And I think it happens in a city where you've got like a really high masculine identity. It can happen in some ethnicities, in certain communities where there's a real, I don't know, maybe there's conservative parents or just like a bit of a macho cult subculture going on with wherever someone's from, and it can lead them to kind of just be terrified of being outed. And also, those are the very people that are at risk of going to something, getting high, saying too much, and then feeling completely compromised, aren't they? It's fascinating, fascinating.
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic. Like, we could talk about it for hours, because there are so many avenues to go down: religious shame, sexual shame, parents, trauma, all this stuff, like repressed sexuality. Like, I end up being a therapist, but so, like, I don't just sleep with DL guys. That's the kind of reputation I have, but I don't. But most of the DL guys I know, I kind of end up being their therapist.
Getting a few needs met there, aren't they?
Yeah, they get some nice bumhole and they get their brain calm. But no, I think it's because there are a few men in my life who I've known for years and I'm really, really like them. They're really nice people and they've done me favors. Like, they've helped me pick up furniture before. They've taken, you know, they helped me. There was a situation I had before where someone was behaving in a way that was threatening me, and I don't know how to word this.
Maybe you don't have to, because I think I know what's next.
Yeah, you can imagine.
Did you get them to catch spiders and stuff like that?
You know what? I swear to God, this almost makes me sound so gay. I had one guy come to my house once to open a jar of gherkins.
You got them all on speed dial. I love that.
I love gherkins, and I couldn't open. It wouldn't open, and I was like, "What? I feel like so pathetic." And he only lives like 5 minutes, and he was actually driving. I'm driving past. Please stop.
Yeah, you need to get like a variety of tradesmen. This is the old thing, isn't it? We used to say about certain women. They just sleep with a variety of tradesmen. And you'd be like, oh, I know a plumber.
Yeah.
And an electrician. I know a plasterer. Right. I am going to stop us for this week there. Me and you could chat about that all the time. Tove's always got fresh stories. We can just be like, download, guys. Go. What's the latest? I will see you next time.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.